So if you just grab a Bible, they should be in the seat in front of you, one of the little natty bits that you can slip a Bible into. Look for it there. Turn in with me to page 943, and we're reading from Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Well, thanks, Andy, for reading for us. Thank you, Tim, for leading us as we prayed together in that last song. Can I encourage you to keep your Bibles open in Romans chapter 6? We're going to be following through that passage on page 943. I want you just to think with me about two people. I've made them up, so don't worry, it's no one you know. Jamie hasn't been a Christian very long. He's heard that trusting in Jesus means you're saved. Maybe he was here when we were looking at the earlier parts of Romans back in January. And so he's believed it. But now he wonders, well, what next? So I've trusted in Jesus, but what do I do now? How does the Christian life, how does it actually work? Do I have to do anything different? Or is it really enough just to trust in Jesus? Or think about Sam. Sam's been a Christian for quite a long time, and she is tired. Work is exhausting. Children are exhausting. The Christian life just doesn't seem to have the same appeal that it used to. It doesn't have the same excitement she used to feel about it. You know, it's hard to pray. It's hard to read the Bible. It's hard to come to church. It's hard to keep caring about godliness in your life. She doesn't feel a whole lot like trying to follow Jesus, whatever that might mean. But does it matter? Should she be bothered about her habits, her attitudes, her life? Does it make any difference? Well, here's the question that Paul is asking in our passage today in verse 15. Have a look at it with me. Are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Is a Christian free to live any way they like? We've heard in Romans in previous weeks that if we're saved by the grace of Jesus, but if we're saved by the grace of Jesus and it's all a gift, can I just do what I want? Does it matter how I live? Should I be bothered about living in a godly way, or is it not a big deal? Should the things I do wrong, should my sin bother me? Does it matter? Why pray? Why come to church? Why do good? Why be self-controlled? You know, these things are all difficult. So do they matter? Should we do them? Well, Paul's answer in this passage is loud and clear. Still in verse 15, should we sin? Should we do whatever we want? By no means. Yes, it matters how we live. It matters that we live in a godly way. We should be bothered about sin in our lives, about the things we do wrong. The good news, if you sometimes struggle to follow Paul, is he's only going to say one thing in this whole passage. He just says it several different times. The way we live matters is because God has set us free from sin, but now we are slaves to God. Let's see what that means. So first of all, Paul wants us to see that there are actually only two options out there in life. You can be a slave of sin, or you can be a slave of obedience. Look with me at verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you're slaves of the one who you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Here's the logic. If you act like a slave, then you are a slave. And now, this talk of slavery might make you feel a bit uncomfortable. At the time that Paul is writing, up to 70% of the population of Rome where he's writing are members of the slave class. He's picked an analogy, an illustration that is familiar to his audience. So let me put it this way instead. If you turn up for work somewhere each day, you do the tasks that your manager gives you and you get paid at the end of the month, then that's your work. They're your boss. You're their employee. You work for them. You are an employee of the person you work for, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, our trouble with this is that we actually think that we're really free, don't we? No one tells me what to do. I'm my own boss. I call my own shots. But if we think this, we haven't really understood our own hearts, our own motivations. I saw this week this poster that's been put up at the end of London Road. There you are. Don't feel bad about doing what's right for you. I don't know what you think about that as life advice, but this is the spirit of our culture. You do you. No one else can tell you what's right for you. You call the shots. Whatever you decide is right. And other people need to accept that. Need to accept you for who you are. Freedom. But what this misses is that this is a kind of slavery. It's a slavery to selfishness. It's a slavery to the desires of our own hearts. Wherever my heart, wherever my desires take me, that's where I'm going to go. That's where I have to follow. And if I give myself as a slave to following my own desires, then that's what I am, a slave. You know, we think we're free, but there's always a bottom line, isn't there? I'm working hard, but really I'm driven by slavery to the idea of success. I'm having as much fun as I can, but really I'm driven by slavery to pleasure seeking. I'm always thinking about how other people think of me. I'm a slave to their opinion. I do whatever I want. I'm a slave to the idea of freedom. You know, doing whatever you want sounds very appealing, doesn't it? It's big in our culture. But here's a surprise. It's actually enslaving. The freedom we want turns out to be hollow. And so Paul says life boils down to two choices. You can be a slave to sin or a slave to obedience. Either God is calling the shots in your life or someone else's, me, my friends, whoever. But whatever it is, it's not God. You know, if sin is living, well, however I want, with no reference to God, then if God's not calling the shots, sin's calling the shots. It's obedience or it's disobedience. So we're slaves of whoever we decide to obey, our own desires, our own hearts, or are we going to obey God? Which master will we choose? Well, if you're a Christian, here's the good news for you. You used to be a slave of sin, but now you're a slave of righteousness. And Paul says this in verse 17, you were once slaves of sin. That's what we used to be, following our hearts wherever they took us, doing whatever we wanted, thinking we were free, but really slaves, bound to this kind of hollow chasing after nothing. You know, we were like people stuck in a dead-end job. We could do whatever we wanted, but it wasn't going anywhere. But out of that slavery, we've become obedient to Jesus. God has set us free from what we were, and we're not enslaved any longer. God has changed our hearts. Now, we were disobedient, sinfully calling our own shots, making our own decisions, but verse 17, now we have become obedient from the heart. The problem before was exactly with our hearts. You know, apart from Jesus, we follow our hearts wherever they take us. And so at the end of the day, we don't do good because in the core of my being, I don't really want to. I want a life that satisfies me. I want what I want on my terms. And so God has worked at the core of the problem. You know, he's changed our hearts where it really matters to want what is good, to want and to love him. So it starts from our inner selves. It starts with a desire to love God, and our obedience to him flows out from there. And we've become obedient to a standard of teaching. I found this phrase a bit surprising when I was reading this passage. But the idea here is as of a pattern, someone who is setting our example, who we're following, who gives us our pattern of conduct, a teaching that we've received. And this is all about Jesus. He's the one we've heard about. He's the one who's changed our hearts. He's the pattern that we follow, the one we want to walk after, and the one that we want to be like. If we have to choose a master, he's the master we want. We've become obedient from the heart to follow the pattern of Jesus, the words that we've heard about him. Isn't he the kind of master that you want to follow? You know, if Paul's right and freedom really is an illusion, and our choice is just which master to pick, isn't Jesus the master we want? You know, a master who comes to woo our hearts with his great love for us. A master who isn't demanding of his servants, work harder, work longer, do more, but who bends down at the feet of his disciples to wash their feet. A master who isn't always asking us to go that extra mile, but who himself gives his very life for us, his servants. We come to serve Jesus as our master, and we find instead that he is the one who serves us. A master who claims the allegiance of our hearts. So we have a choice of two bosses. Our old boss, our hearts, own desires, the dead-end job that goes nowhere, that promises freedom but doesn't deliver. Or the new boss, Jesus. Jesus who has set us free, who loves us and who serves us. Don't go back to the old office. Don't go back and start doing the old job again. We have come to Jesus. Maybe you're hearing all this and you're thinking, yeah, but this isn't me. My trouble is exactly that. I feel trapped and stuck. I feel like I'm a slave to sin and I can't get out. I wish that someone would set me free. Maybe you feel guilt or shame. Let me assure you of this. If you will turn to Jesus, he will set you free. If it's the first time or if it's the 50th time, turn to Jesus. Know his forgiveness. Know that he covers your shame. Know that his power sets you free from sin. Listen, it might take some time to unpick whatever guilt and shame and things that you are carrying. It might take a lifetime to unpick them. But if Jesus has set you free, he is not going to leave you to go back into slavery. You can rely on him. We used to be slaves to sin, but now we've become obedient to Jesus. And did you kind of pick up the irony there in verse 18? Here's the twist. Having been set free from sin, you've become slaves to righteousness. That's our choice. Slave of sin or slave to right living before God. Because the thing with these slaveries is they don't stay still. They have consequences and they advance. And I like the note, by the way, at the beginning of verse 19. If you're feeling uncomfortable about the slavery analogy, so's Paul. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. But he's using a picture that we can sort of understand because it's conveying something that's a deep reality about our status before God. And Paul says this about it. Once you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. Paul is talking about every part of our human nature, our bodies, our minds, our personalities, our emotions, our longings. Every part is engaged and enslaved. When sin was our master, we used every part of ourselves in doing exactly whatever it was that we wanted. And now that Jesus is our master, we are to give every part of ourselves to him, our hands, our energy, our minds, what we look at, what we use our voices for, what we delight in. Everything is changed by knowing him. But it advances. As we give ourselves in service to sin or to Jesus, that changes us. You know, if we give ourselves to following sin and lawlessness, slaves to impurity and lawlessness, Paul says, following our own desires, doing whatever we want, that leads to more lawlessness. It's a path of destruction that leads to ever more and increasing destruction. We're never satisfied with the amount of freedom that we have, and we travel further and further and further down a path that leads to ruin. And if we give ourselves to following Jesus, to righteousness, then it leads to sanctification. That means it leads to becoming more and more like Jesus ourselves. And you see, our actions shape our will and our character. This is a brain chemistry thing, as I understand it. But the more we repeat an action or a thought, the easier it is to repeat it again and again, and to want to repeat it again and again, either for good or for evil. Lawlessness leading to lawlessness, or obedience leading to becoming like Jesus. And so our life is made up of moment by moment choices, isn't it? How will I act in this moment? Am I offering myself to doing whatever I want or to following Jesus? Will I choose resentment or love? Bitter talk and gossip or kind speech? Will I choose lust in my heart or purity? Will I choose the way that follows after Jesus, my master, leading me closer to him? Well, you might be hearing all that and thinking, but I just want to be free to do what I want. I do not want this slavery to godly living. But listen, free to do what you want, that's exactly what you were. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. No one was telling you what you had to do then. So if you want to do whatever you like, look back. That's what you did. But what were the results of that freedom? Verse 21, what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You were free to live however you wanted, thinking only of yourself, making all your own decisions. But it led only to death. You know, sin is not a kind master. It promises much: freedom and life and power and happiness, but it delivers little. Freedom never satisfies, not in the end. It's never enough. There's only one way that sin makes a good boss, and that's that it pays the wages on time. But the wages are death. Death at the end, and day by day death, one step at a time. The death of broken lives, ravaged by sin, ravaged by lawlessness, taken down that path of destruction. You want freedom from living God's way? You're asking for freedom from the way of life that brings the most satisfaction, that brings the most fulfillment, that brings the most joy. Freedom from righteousness leads to death. But instead there's this, verse 22, you have been set free, not from righteousness, but from sin. Christ has set us free. And the fruit you get now leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. It leads to becoming more like Jesus and being with him in his eternal life. Living a godly life's not easy. Choosing to follow after Jesus isn't easy, but there is an end destination that is worth heading for. Jesus has set us free so we can become like him and like him in eternal life. And so if that's the place you want to go, then let's walk down the road that leads there. Walk on the road of slavery to God, living for him. Walk on the road Jesus has set us on, because we know we will arrive at the end point. Freedom from sin leads to eternal life. But here's the vital last thing, and you mustn't miss it. We are not walking the path of right living before God because somehow we're going to earn eternal life with him. We could never do it. We start walking on the path and we so easily veer to one side or the other, or off in the wrong direction, or we turn around and start heading back the right way every day. We can never do it. But he gives us eternal life as a free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So don't keep walking towards Jesus to earn eternal life. You won't make it. Keep walking towards Jesus because he is the one who has set you free. He is the master who loves you, who gave himself for you. He's the gracious Lord who has given you eternal life as a gift. So start walking in it now. Follow him from your heart. He's the master we want to follow. In a moment we're going to sing, but I'm going to pray now. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he has set us free from sin, so that we can give ourselves joyfully to follow after him. Thank you for that gift of eternal life, and give us your strength to walk in that gift today. Amen. Musicians, over to you.